Well, earlier I sat down with Joan Lewis, our resident Vatican expert, for a look at the past week of events here in the Vatican. But first, a very special anniversary. First of all, we have to start today's program by saying happy birthday. That's the big event that happened over the last week here in the Vatican.
That was the
Joan
big
Lewis's
event.
Joan Lewis's birthday.
Front page stories and lots of local papers.
Yes, right. Exactly.
It was a red letter day, a very, very beautiful celebration. I was asked to give a speech at a luncheon and at which I'd received gifts, and I talked about a gift I'd gotten earlier from a friend. It's a beautifully framed plaque with a small cross on it and three words: faith, family, and friends. And it's exactly,
that's sweet.
I said, this person knows me, knows what I'm about, knows what my life is about. And I said, that's what this luncheon is about, a shared faith and time with friends and family celebrating. So it was a very, very lovely day. And the first day of a week, of course, that things are slowing down here at the Vatican.
Mm-hmm,
so.
Sure. The Pope is off at Castel Gandolfo.
Indeed.
It's very hot here in Rome.
Yeah.
It must be something like 100 degrees Fahrenheit.
Indescribably hot. I mean, even when you do walk in the shade, because that's the big secret here, you walk on the shady side of the street, even walking in the shade, it's kind of like you just always have to be sipping your cold water, when you can refill your water bottles from wonderful fountains here. That is perhaps the only positive thing about this kind of hot weather.
Well, but, so that's one big reason why the Pope will have wanted to go out.
When he's going to rest, he's leaving very shortly, obviously, for Australia for World Youth Day. He will be resting 3 days there after he arrives, but he'll undoubtedly be working on his speeches and many other projects that he has in mind, the second half of his book on Jesus of Nazareth and so forth. But he's also kind of, if you want to look back to last weekend, which we know from kind of previews on this show, it was a very busy weekend, not only who the Holy Father received in audience, but his celebration of the Vespers at St. Paul's Outside the Walls, opening of the year of St. Paul, the Pauline year, and Sunday, the Feast of Saints Peter and Paul, conferring the pallium on 40 archbishops, and several, I don't know if we did note it at last week, several did receive the pallium in their own dioceses. So he was very busy, and there really was an important event over the weekend when the Holy Father named a new vicar for Rome.
Oh,
as we know,
right.
Sure, the Pope is, I'm sure our listeners know, the Pope is the Bishop of Rome. However, he cannot be Holy Father, Pope of the Universal Church, and perform all of a bishop's functions. So there is a vicar of Rome. And the Holy Father named Cardinal Agostino Vallini to succeed Cardinal Camillo Ruini, who has been in that position for 17 years, and most of those 17 years, many of them, Cardinal Ruini also headed the Italian Bishops Conference. So we have a new vicar for Rome, and there's very, very important duties that he does that the Pope asks him to do. And at the same time, another nomination was made, very important to the Church, not so much in the Diocese of Rome, but at the Roman Curia. And we have American Archbishop Raymond Burke of St. Louis was named to head the Apostolic Signatura. And that is one of three tribunals in the Roman Curia.
What exactly does the Signatura do?
Well, it's really very interesting. I did some research because I didn't understand exactly very well what it did. And it's more or less a term we can all understand, the Supreme Court of Vatican City and of the Catholic Church. And appeals would come to this court from other church courts. And then beyond this, there would be no appeal. But they, for example, handle conflicts of jurisdiction between two or more tribunals or dicasteries. Those are offices here in the Roman Curia. They handle administrative acts of ordinaries, that is to say bishops and dicasteries, including penal cases. They handle petitions for retrials of a Roman rota decision. And the Roman rota, we should mention, is the court that deals with marriage cases, just as the Apostolic Penitentiary, which is not a jail, but we know it deals with penance. We have to think of penitentiary more in the terms of Penance. And interesting enough, in 1989, John Paul named Archbishop Burke to be the first U.S. defender of the bond, but only 2 years ago, Pope Benedict XVI named him as a member of the Supreme Tribunal of the Apostolic Signatura. And so I think that shows great confidence, obviously, in the Archbishop's abilities. He's watched him head the Archdiocese of St. Louis for some years now. And there are many Catholics who feel, obviously, it's a huge loss. It's a wonderful gain for Rome. It's a huge loss for the Church. He's a very well-respected man who lives and breathes by the magisterium of the Catholic Church. So it'll be very exciting. He knows Rome. He has a lot of friends here, so that will be very exciting. And obviously everybody's sitting up wondering, okay, who will be appointed to head St. Louis? So these are some of the appointments that were very, very big over the weekend. And there was another audience, which I think we should mention, and that was when the Holy Father welcomed Cardinal Joseph Zen. He's the Archbishop of Hong Kong, along with the coadjutor bishop, John Tong Han, and then Bishop Jose Lai Hong Sen of Macau, China. Now, we want to remember that Macau was at one time a Portuguese colony, and I only bring that up because the Holy Father's speech to the bishops, they're in Rome on their ad limina visit, and the Pope's speech to them was put on the Vatican website in Italian, English, Chinese, and Portuguese. Very, very interesting choice, obviously, of the English and the Chinese. Many documents, many more documents than in the past, are being put on the website in Chinese. And then we have the Portuguese. And of course,
that message was quite a message of encouragement for the Church there.
Exactly.
In China and the Chinese territories.
Exactly. It was. He talked about, the Pope knows the challenges that these bishops face in announcing the gospel to the people of Hong Kong and Macau. And the Pope did talk about ongoing formation of the clergy. He talked about many, many aspects of, shall we say, church business. But church business is often intertwined, at least the Chinese authorities want it this way, often intertwined with civil authority, permission to do or not do things, at least in the Patriotic Church. The government allows that. There is the so-called underground church, loyal to Rome, loyal to the Holy Father.
And of course, the Pope, at the very end of that letter, he did have some words of hope for the future, for the church.
He did. He said, "I hope and pray to the Lord the day will come when your brother bishops from mainland China come to Rome on pilgrimage to the tombs of the apostles Peter and Paul," which, of course, is what an ad limina visit is about. He said, "He hopes that they come as a sign of communion with the successor of Peter and the universal church." So, real busy week. And then, actually, the two big events of the week, because the Pope left Wednesday for Casa Gandolfo. On Monday, he did receive the archbishops of who had received the pallium. Three Americans were among those, for our American listeners. And he also on Wednesday, he had held the general audience. And he's starting a catechesis. It was the only general audience that will be held in the month of July. And the next one, I believe, is sometime in August. And he is starting a new series of catechesis on St. Paul in this year dedicated to the Apostle Paul.
Okay, I'm afraid we've run out of time, but
it goes by very quickly in this studio.
Again, thanks so much, Joan, for being with us, and happy birthday again. A little late now, but
see you next week.
Okay, bye-bye.